It is Wednesday, September 13th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, we get a firsthand account of the devastation caused by Hurricane Irma on the Florida Keys.
Certainly, compared to the rest of Florida, this is the equivalent of what you would see in a major tornado.
A new report says the sale of small arms fuels conflicts and instability around the world. And singer Kelly Clarkson has a new single and a new television show. It's all ahead. Emergency workers and National Guard troops are working to find those left stranded in the Florida Keys by Hurricane Irma. Among the dead in Florida were six nursing home patients in Hollywood, which is located between Miami and Fort Lauderdale. Broward County Mayor Barbara Sharif said the nursing home was evacuated Wednesday due to the lack of power. The Florida Keys were the hardest hit area on the U.S. mainland. In addition to rescue operations there, National Guard troops are also working to clear roads and runways in order to allow deliveries of life-saving supplies to the island chain, where authorities have only allowed people to access the northernmost areas. VOA's Ramon Taylor visited the Keys earlier today. He describes to me the devastation that he saw.
It was a very surreal experience, I think, for both myself and for other reporters that were on the ground. I mean, once you enter, and mind you, a lot of residents are coming back for the first time today. Some were allowed in yesterday to view their homes or the damage of what were their homes yesterday and today. So really, it's sort of an emotional experience for a lot of the residents that are coming back. And for reporters, it's something that I haven't seen, covering these types of circumstances. Certainly, compared to the rest of Florida, this is the equivalent of what you would see in a major tornado or something, along the lines of the bigger hurricanes that have ravaged across the Caribbean and the entire peninsula. So, I mean, we're seeing a very different scenario that is much more head-on collision, where you actually question how some people that decided to stay could have survived.
And I know Florida officials, including Governor Rick Scott, they didn't want people to travel there until the bridges had been inspected, because that whole area, it's quite a drive down there. But so I assume, at least structurally, vehicles are able to drive in that area.
Yeah, there is free-flowing traffic now that began early this morning after the end of a curfew that was in place, and every other car on the road this morning was a police car of some nature. There were fire trucks, FEMA vehicles on the road that are continuing to make their way down. A lot of residents, of course, haven't seen that assistance yet and have been asking. We went to a trailer park home just in Isla Morada, which is sort of in the middle area of those islands, and we spoke with a few guys there who had actually waited it out. They had been there since the storm hit. They've, of course, been without electricity, water, for the entire time. They're hoping that their supplies will last a little bit longer, but they're just waiting on outside help at this point, and that's the message that they can try to that they're trying to get across with the reporters right now.
Did they or other people you might have talked to say why had they decided to remain in the area, because officials really wanted people to leave?
I think they understood, just as clear as it was to us, that the message that these officials tried to get out, it wasn't that they didn't hear the message. They decided not to heed it because they really thought that this was going to be like Katrina hit Florida, which is to say not as bad as how it hit New Orleans, of course. And so they thought that it would come as a Category 3, which, 130 miles per hour winds. They ultimately did expect and fear and still had a tremendous, scary experience, let's say, hearing the effects of that and hoping for their lives that they would be able to come out of that okay. But at the end of the day, they saw that it wasn't going to be 170, 180 mile per hour wind, something that would, just completely demolish the area, even though it did. And at the point when they had to make a decision, it was already too late. So a lot of them had just really sort of prayed for those that are religious, and there are many, and are lucky to come out of this alive.
So did you observe a number of buildings, homes that had been demolished or very heavily damaged?
Absolutely. When I say this looks like a tornado zone, I mean, the further down the Keys you go, the more evident all of this is. When we were driving down in the beginning, you know, there were some limbs of palm trees here and there, some debris which had been mostly cleared off from the roads heading down. Of course, the billboards are no longer exist anywhere you go. But the further down you go, as the islands become a lot skinnier, you really see how the water level is just at level with this thin surface of land, and it has really demolished to pieces, even moved certain trailers 15, 20 feet. I should say the remains of what's left from some of these trailers. We spoke with one man whose name was Billy the Kid, he called himself, and he, you know, was able to share his experience and tell us that, you know, there's really nothing left of anything that had been passed down for generations. His home would had been in a fireman's home for three generations prior, and he's having to start, you know, from scratch again. And so that's these are the types of stories that you hear. It's not just vacationers coming back for, you know, to visit part time. Some of these are the laborers that cater to the vacationers that live here full time who only have one home.
Is it known when power will be restored there, or when, what about, you know, supplies, groceries? Are these people able to get more food?
There are very, very basic stores that are starting to pop up in little areas where, I mean, of the convenience store variety, right? Where you're able to see, you know, little bits of water or non-perishable snacks here or there. But it's going to be a long time before any of these restaurants, bars, cafes reopen. And you know, I would venture to say it's going to be more than simply days before they're back on their feet.
VOA's Ramon Taylor is describing conditions in the Florida Keys. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. So, Andrew, what's trending?
As Ramon was talking about, now comes the cleanup. Everybody in Florida is trying to move on after Hurricane Irma, trying to assess what can be saved, what can be repaired, what has to be demolished. So it's a lot of heavy hearts and a lot of people on social media reaching out saying we're safe, but our house was damaged, or we still don't have electricity. So people still trying to make their way back to some degree of normalcy. But we are seeing in this cleanup effort some instances of levity on social media. There was one instance where a viral video has a lot of people talking. It shows a Catholic nun in full habit and dress wielding a chainsaw and clearing debris. This video has gone viral. It was taken by the Miami-Dade Police Department, and it shows Sister Margaret Ann, who's the principal of Archbishop Carroll High School just outside of Miami, clearing debris off the side of the road. And she said, "You know what? I felt like I needed to go out and try to do my part to help." So she picked up her chainsaw and went.
Good for her.
So yeah, good for her. That video has gotten millions of views. It's taken social media by storm, and people say that she's become kind of a symbol of the cleanup. That everybody is just kind of picking up, doing what they can. Even if you're a nun, you go out there and do with it what you can. Some other people getting a lot of attention are three police officers from Gainesville, Florida. They posted a picture up on social media saying they were going out to help out with the cleanup. And these three handsome police officers got a lot of attention on social media because of their looks. A lot of ladies leaving comments saying, "I'd like for you to come by and help me clean, brush, and do this and that." Got shared more than 200,000 times. So those officers saying it's a nice way to recognize them for their work in trying to help with the cleanup, albeit a little maybe superficial way. But again, something that people in the midst of all of this cleanup and heartache and everything try to find a laugh wherever they can. So they're trying to find one there, certainly. But as we talk about Hurricane Irma and the cleanup, there's still business going on throughout the rest of the country, and certainly here in Washington, a lot to talk about. President Trump giving an indication that he's looking to pivot from this hurricane and the focus on that and get back to work here in Washington. He said, with Irma, and this is what he put out on Twitter, he said, "With Irma and Harvey devastation, tax cuts and tax reform is needed more than ever. Go, Congress, go." So it looks like he's trying to get his legislative agenda back on track. And he's set to have dinner tonight with Democratic House Leader Nancy Pelosi and Democratic Senate Leader Chuck Schumer, who he recently referred to as Chuck and Nancy very casually, which got a lot of attention on social media. They're set to talk about issues like DACA and immigration and health care. So a lot of people commenting about this dinner saying to be a fly on the wall, what are they going to talk about? How is this dinner going to go? And some hope from people because President Trump is a Republican, Schumer and Pelosi are Democrats. They're saying maybe they can actually compromise for once and get something done. So there is some hope for some bipartisanship coming out of this dinner. But all eyes are going to be on the White House tonight as they meet up, and hopefully we'll see some trending stories come out of that, some positive trending stories. But certainly it's going to be the talk of social media.
And I wonder what's on the menu.
And that too, a lot of people wondering that as well.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. here are some of the top news stories trending. The U.S. bombing campaign in Afghanistan intensifies, hitting a new high. President Donald Trump spurs Congress to overhaul U.S. taxes. Armed men break into the U.N. Human Rights Office in Burundi. And the 12th announced airstrike against an Al-Qaeda-linked group occurs in Somalia. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Among the findings made by the European Space Agency's Rosetta mission is that Comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko contained a good amount of organic compounds which have been associated with life on Earth. Scientists theorize that comets delivered material that may have kickstarted life on our planet almost 4 billion years ago. Scientists at the French National Center for Scientific Research say they found evidence and data gathered by Rosetta that suggests these organic compounds may have been produced in interstellar space well before our solar system was formed over 4.6 billion years ago. If the organic compounds were indeed produced in interstellar space, the researchers suggest that it might be possible that life on other planets in our galaxy may have been seeded in the same way theorized for Earth. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, the new iPhone debuts in California. A survey finds the United States is the world's top small arms trader in a multi-billion dollar industry, followed by Italy, Brazil, Germany, and South Korea. From Geneva, Lisa Schlein reports for VOA on the Small Arms Survey's Trade Update 2017, Out of the Shadows.
The survey says at least $6 billion in authorized global arms trading took place in 2014, $200 million more than the year before. The survey shows the U.S. bought fewer small arms in 2013 when purchases declined from $2.5 billion to $2.2 billion. Nevertheless, it says the U.S. remains the world's largest importer of small arms, followed by Canada, Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, and Germany. The U.S. is also the top seller of small arms with exports of $1.1 billion in 2014. The report also highlights the role of the least transparent small arms sellers. Iran, Israel, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates got the lowest scores on the survey's transparency index of exporters. Israel, for the first time, has scored 0 points, while North Korea has consistently failed the transparency test. The report's authors warn the concealed nature of the small arms trade increases the chances small weapons will fall into the wrong hands and help fuel conflict and instability. Small Arms Survey senior researcher Paul Holtum tells VOA it is hard to know who is receiving small arms and ammunition from places like North Korea.
One assumes that some of the major recipients from North Korea in 1980s, 1990s have continued to be recipients, and so there's been work carried out by the UN panel of experts monitoring the sanctions on North Korea that's highlighted a number of countries in sub-Saharan Africa that have received assistance in various forms. Current investigations, I understand, are going on with regard to Namibia, with regard to small arms production that's been there, with Uganda, with Eritrea, and with the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Regarding regional trends, the survey finds between 2001 and 2014, the Americas accounted for 40% of documented global small arms imports, followed by Europe, Asia, and the Pacific and Africa. While the Africa region only imported 4% of small arms, the survey notes the value of trade there nearly tripled from $82 million to $237 million during that 13-year period. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Well, after months of anticipation, Apple unveiled its newest products Tuesday at its new Cupertino, California headquarters. Despite significant upgrades to its line of consumer products, the most hotly anticipated was the launch of Apple's newest smartphone. But is it for you? Millar Sega has more.
It is the honor of a lifetime to be the first to welcome you to the Steve Jobs Theater.
After honoring Apple's late founder, Steve Jobs, Apple CEO Tim Cook wasted no time unveiling the company's newest products, from the Apple Watch Series 3, which no longer needs to be tethered to a phone, to the new Apple TV, which finally caught up to its rivals with 4K video streaming capabilities. But even with all the bells and whistles of the new iPhone 8 and iPhone 8 Plus, the real star of the show was marked X.
This is iPhone 10. It is the biggest leap forward since the original iPhone.
With an edge-to-edge screen, no home button, and new facial recognition technology, the iPhone X is the 10-year upgrade to the original iPhone. But with a price tag starting at $999, it may not be for everyone, says Bankrate.com senior analyst Mark Hamrick on Skype.
I think truly that there are some people out there who will skip meals to have these devices, and we can debate whether that's wise or not. Probably it's not, but we would urge people to really do a kind of audit of their own personal finances, whether this is a good idea to take on the additional monthly charge.
Although carrier companies are likely to spread the cost of owning Apple's newest phone over years and months, the cost of the new hardware, along with monthly voice and data plans, can add up.
Just because you're unhappy with your phone, or just because it seems to not be working, doesn't necessarily mean that you absolutely need that shiny new thing.
And if you really need to upgrade your old phone, Hamrick suggests shopping around. That's what some consumers in China, Apple's fastest growing market, say they're going to do.
It's rumored online that the price will be more than 8,000 yuan. I think the price is okay, I just want to see if it's worth buying. And nowadays there are many full screen display phones, so I would like to wait and see it.
Despite its steep price tag, Hamrick says don't bet against the iPhone X, even though some critics say $1,000 may be the inflection point that pushes some iPhone users to switch. Millar Sega for VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. Bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is International Edition. Singer Kelly Clarkson will be joining a television show, but not the one that made her famous. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me now with the details.
She was the very first American Idol back in 2001 when the show made its debut on Fox. The show is coming back now in 2018 on ABC TV. They've got Katy Perry signed to be a judge. They've got Ryan Seacrest signed to be back as the host. But they didn't sign Kelly Clarkson to return as a judge to American Idol, the show that made her famous. Instead, she opted to become a judge on The Voice. So she's going to be competing with her old show.
But, how interesting.
Yeah, well, that's the way things work. Now, Kelly Clarkson herself has been in this game for a long, long time. In fact, around 8 is when she started to sing and get the bug for singing. Her mom put her in the church choir. So she grew up in Texas singing gospel music. And since that time, she has obviously become very, very famous. And she's about to release what will be her 8th album. And she signed a new contract with a new record label. So she said, finally, I get to release an album more in sync with the kind of music I like. So this new album on Atlantic is called Meaning of Life. It's coming out in October. And she says it's going to have R&B flavors, which is kind of what she really likes to do. She's had many, many hits, obviously. We know over the years she's won so many awards, 3 Grammys, 3 MTV Video Awards, 4 American Music Awards, 2 Academy of Country Music Awards. So she's another artist who's done country and pop and done them both very successfully. So we're going to check out a brand new song right now on International Edition from Kelly Clarkson. This is called Love So Soft.
Every kiss is a door. Can I knock on yours? Can we knock a little more? If a touch is a key, keep on twisting, keep on locking, keep on turning me.
All right, it's interesting when you think she started her career on American Idol. How many pop stars have made it big?
You know what, American Idol, I would have to say, first of all, it's one of the longer running reality shows that discover musical talent. And it just also happens to be a show that has produced successful talent. You think of people like Jordan Sparks, you think of Carrie Underwood, you think of Daughtry, and the list goes on and on and on for the people who have taken their exposure on American Idol and turned it into a successful career. None as big as Kelly Clarkson. There seems to be an ongoing competition between Kelly and Carrie Underwood as to who can sell more records. Right now, Kelly's sales are in excess of 25 million albums, 36 million singles. So Kelly has the edge right now on Carrie, although Carrie is very, very close behind. Now, in addition to being a great pop star, country star, she's also a wonderful mom. She's got 2 kids of her own at home. She married Brandon Blackenstock. He had 2 from a previous marriage. So she said she's trying to balance being a mom to 4 kids with a career, which is quite demanding. But she's managed to put it all together. In addition to that, she's also found time to write 2 children's books. The first one, which came out a year ago, was called River Rose and the Magical Lullaby. And by the way, her daughter's name is River Rose.
Aww.
And the new one is called River Rose and the Magical Christmas. And that comes out as well in October. And you can expect a new song, probably a holiday song, I'm guessing, along with the new book that's coming out. So she's got a lot going on. Meaning of Life is the new album name. And it's going to be exciting when we get to hear the album.
Absolutely. River Rose is such a pretty name.
It is beautiful. And Kelly Clarkson makes beautiful music. And today's new song from Kelly is called Love So Soft.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings. And that is our show. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On August 23rd, Angolans went to the polls to elect a new parliament and to determine who would replace President José Eduardo dos Santos, who has governed the country for the past 38 years. It was Angola's 4th such election since independence from Portugal in 1975. In 1979, José Eduardo dos Santos succeeded the country's first president, Agostinho Neto. This year, President dos Santos declined to stand for another election. Instead, Angolan Defense Minister João Lourenço topped the party list for the ruling MPLA party. The MPLA won the election with 61% of the vote, giving them a majority of seats in parliament, making João Lourenço the next president. 5 opposition parties split the remaining 39% of the vote. The United States congratulates the people of Angola for exercising their democratic right to vote in the August 23rd historic national elections. We look forward to working with President-elect João Lourenço and the new Parliament of the Republic of Angola to further strengthen our bilateral relationship, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert in a written statement. The United States stands by the people of Angola in their efforts to build strong, democratic, and inclusive institutions that are dedicated to ensuring a peaceful and prosperous future for all Angolans.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.